Pelican, fly Pelican, fly Pelican. And I tell him that, fly dive, I'm a Pelican forever, Pelican forever.
Ain't gon' lie, I feel flyer than I ever been. You stay ballin', this New Orleans, I'm a Pelican. It's going down in the nest, wild, wild west. Come in town and you best show us some respect. 3-point threat, I better make it rain. If it's up, then don't jump stupid like your ankle sprain. Always said, never hate the player, hate the game. Jumpin' where the dang late, punch a train. Post game, big Q, talking about business. Bird gang, YouTube, they ain't flocking with us. Lock up the division mission, get into the finals. Finish competition, then it's going win the title. I know this flyer than you can get. Such a threat that the ref just might call a tag. You could double, you could press, but you can't check. Right, left, slide by you like a Eurostar.
Fly Pelican, fly Pelican, fly Pelican. And I tell them that birds of a feather flock together. Fly, die, I'm a Pelican forever. Pelican forever. And never, and never, and never, and never, and never, and never say birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
Fly, die, I'm a Pelican forever. Pelican forever.
I loved our effort, you know, with all the circumstances that is going on with our team in terms of our travel. I thought the guys responded incredible in the second half. We got to do it for 48 minutes. They know it. I know it. And we got to continue to hold each other accountable to doing that. We just haven't put a full game together yet.
I know no more on victories, but B.I. getting going there at the end seemed to find a rhythm that had been eluding him since he returned from his injury. How refreshing was that?
He looked like the Brandon that we're all accustomed to seeing night in and night out. So good to see him get his rhythm going. He was attacking. He was rebounding the ball, making good decisions with the basketball. And that's what we need from him, and he knows that.
And when you come in on a long losing streak, you've been calling for your team to play desperate, and you find yourself down 30 early in the game, just how disappointing is that?
It happens. It's the NBA. It's a game of runs. I mean, we don't want to get down that many points, but they're a good team, especially in the first quarters, and that's what they did to us tonight. So, you know, we'll go home, we'll regroup, we'll watch film and get back to practice and get back after it.
And what did it take for you guys to finally turn around the second half and make it a game?
We just caught our second win. I think the guys kind of got knocked on their heels to start the game, and, you know, it's just unacceptable that those things are happening. I'll take full ownership as well. I got to be better. I got to get us off to great starts in terms of having our team prepared. But we'll get there. You know, tonight was, once again, it was one of those games where we could have laid down and we didn't. And so I'm proud of the guys for the effort. But, you know, we got to try to turn it around at some point.
Did you get an explanation on what happened on the
ground? I did not get an explanation. Did you guys see it?
We saw it.
I didn't get an explanation on why they couldn't look at the call. They just said Brandon was out of bounds, and that was it.
Did you say anything about the clock either?
They didn't. We asked them about both. Okay, is there more time? And we just didn't get an explanation on it.
How much is that on top of everything, losing streak plus everything to come back and that's what kind of happens at the end of the game? How much does that add to anything?
It shouldn't come down to that for us. Plays like that happen. Look, we're not happy about it. When I go back and look at it, if he was in bounds, I get it. But more importantly for us is what happened leading up to those plays. So those are the things that we can control.
Kyra over Devontae, that kind of led into that decision tonight.
Just want to try to get Kyra some games under his belt and see what he can give us.
And just big picture, 10 straight losses. How do you just keep the negativity from seeping in and making this, turn into a bigger thing for the team?
Look, we got to stay positive about it. There's some improvement happening, and we can't judge ourselves just off the wins and losses. It's still a long season, so we got plenty of games left to turn it around. We dug ourselves in a hole. We got to climb out of it.
And is there a point, as a leader, where you feel like something drastic needs to be done, something, just to send a message, or you got to do something different just to get it turned around where it feels like these losses keep piling up?
So we got to stay the course. It's what we've done. It's what we believe in, being consistent. We've been here before. This is not new to this team. We had more losses this time last year, so perspective is important for us at this time.
How much does last year help?
It helps. I say it all the time, but not only in sports but in life. When you go through adversity, you go through tough times like we are now in the basketball world, you evaluate your life. And many people go through adversity. They go through tough times. What do you do during those times? Do you do something drastic and change everything you're doing, or you try to stay the course, make a few tweaks and adjustments, and those are the things that we'll do.
Thanks, Coach. All right.
Thank you, Coach. All right, for all things Pelicans, you're now tuned to the Pelican Post Game Report. Much love to the flock. Appreciate y'all joining us for this episode of Pelican Post Game Report. Pelicans fall short against the Dallas Mavericks, 111-106, and suffered a 10th straight loss in a row, man. This is a tough one to swallow. Pelicans go down. Very, very tough situation occurring with them before the game, how it all unraveled. And unfortunately, the Pelicans couldn't get the dub tonight. I'm Big Q. We got DC chiming in, my co-host. Shout out to you, DC. Welcome to the stream, bro. Another tough one, bro. 111-106. You heard what Coach Willie was saying, man. He got to coach better. They got to play better. Yada, yada, yada. We've been hearing that a lot. A great question by Will Guillory asking about, keeping the team positive, during the real tough stretch. A lot of the positive things that the Pelicans did prior to January.
Easier for them to keep them positive. Done, right? Got enough negative, floating around from out of Fansville. So, Willie going to keep them positive, and we're going to have a complete battery.
Yeah, interesting, DC. Pelicans now 26-27 now, bro. They're under 500 by one game, and a lot of positive success that we had from prior to going into January, man. Well, I think they were 3-13 in the month of January. Just a disgusting month of basketball for our Pelicans, man. Let's get into this matchup, bro.
Yeah, man. This was a rough one, knowing the conditions. The players didn't get in until maybe 1 o'clock. And then Larry Nass was on Twitter saying, they got to the airport and plus the bus still isn't here to pick us up. So I'm guessing they didn't get a chance to go to their hotels or anything like that. I don't know if they went straight to the arena or how that worked. But you still got to have practice. They got to have these shoot around and all of that. So it's kind of something that I guess throw them out of their rhythm. But still no excuse for letting the team get up 30 on you. Albeit we did come back and make it a game, man. And I think if we did get that call with B.I. being out of bounds, which he clearly wasn't, that they probably would have tied the game, man. Like, they definitely would have made a shot on that possession because the momentum was just crazy. Been hard to mess that up. But you could look at it one way as in you're disappointed in the Pels. Because they let the team get up on you. And if Luka was out there, it would have stayed 30. And the only reason they came back is because Luka got hurt. Or you could look at it as, the Pels were dealt a tough hand. We definitely did get our 10th loss, and we earned it, boy, did we. We made a lot of mistakes, played sloppy. But we also played really hard, man, and tightened up and tried to make a run at it. A lot of teams get down by 30, man, and they just kind of give up. you're putting the other guys in, and that's just the end of it, you know. So I don't see this trend continuing of them continuing to slide. I know it feels like we're never going to stop losing, but as you can see, you do have a few bright spots. Herb played great in the other game against Denver. B.I. started to kind of return to form tonight, finally, you know, in his fourth game being back, kind of looking a little more like himself towards the end of the game, because during the game it still was a little rough on him. And they got him sitting down for long stretches, which where he's clearly, I guess, in some type of minute restriction. Or maybe that's just because Willie's doing the staggering thing with him and CJ. But nonetheless, man, we done already been to the bottom, family. The Pels aren't going to continuously suck like this. They're going to get better. So we just got to hang in there, man. Hopefully they can turn things around in this next matchup against the Lakers, because I really don't want to be on the end of LeBron breaking an all-time scoring record and us taking a L.
Yeah, that would definitely suck. Shout out to Aramis in this thing, man. Shout out to you, bro. He says, and we got ESPN 2 game against the Lakers on Saturday. B.I. looked vintage, but poor IQ in the closing seconds. Could have shot the three. Could have shot the three, went down by five, but still took too many middies. All right. Thank you, Aramis.
I don't know about that, Aramis. I mean, B.I. kind of got to go for what he know right now, man, to get his game going.
Yeah,
he looking too good behind the three-point line right now.
That definitely was a terrible call, though. That he wasn't that even, was. And then they refused to even fix it. So I mean, you heard what Coach Willie said about it, you know. So I mean, it gets to a point where, you know, this whole referee thing is just screwing up everything, man. At this point, I never heard so many mistakes by the referees. And
well, apparently, you can't review it in the last 2 minutes for an out-of-bounds call unless you have a challenge. That's what the AD and Joe Myers said during the game. So they were going to review it. Then they found out that the rule was you can't review it. The coach has to challenge it within those last 2 minutes, which makes no sense to me. It seems like under the last 2 minutes, it should be like how it is in football, like an automatic challenge or automatic review in the last 2 minutes, right? Would that make more sense?
Yeah, this is ridiculous, man. If you think about, you know, a lot of this got to be changed, but a lot of this is allowed to have gray areas so they can blame referees. I mean, I think a certain amount of it is manipulation, and that's how I view it. But anyway, let's get into this, man. Pelicans, man, 111-106 go down to Dallas, 10th straight loss in a row, 42 of 85 from the field for 49.4%. The Mavs 37 of 85 for 43.5. Pelicans shot a miserable 5 of 21 from downtown for almost 24%. Mavericks 14 of 41 for 34.1%. Pelicans from the foul line 17 of 21 for 81% flat. The Mavericks 23 of 29 for 79.3. Pelicans did get 50 rebounds in the matchup, 12 of which was offensive against 36 by the Mavericks. The assist game was pretty decent, 27 assists by the Pelicans versus 16 by the Mavs. Mavs did have 10-6 on the steals, the Pels 5-3 on the blocks, and the Pelicans did have 17 turnovers with 27 points all versus the Mavs only 8 turnovers with 13 points all. Pelicans did beat them in the fast break game 22-8, and also in the points in the paint battle 68-38. Big disparity there. Pelicans at one point led by 2, and the Mavericks at one point was as up by as much as 31. Pelicans did have a really good fourth quarter to try to get that thing close, but once again, they fall short in this one. They tried to give the effort. Things didn't fall their way in this 111-106 DC team stats.
Two stats, three stats in specific, man, that shows you why we lost this game. Number one is obviously turnovers. We saw the sloppy play. I think we had 13 turnovers in the first half. So, I mean, that's perfect recipe to give a team 31-point lead. As well, when you're allowing them to generate a bunch of points off of turnovers, because they had, what, 27 points off of turnovers? that we surrendered. And I think the majority of those points they got in the first half. You know, so turnovers killed us. Besides that, it was our horrid three-point shooting. Went 5 for 20 from three-point line at 25%. And Dallas knocked down 14 three-pointers. So you take 5 minus 14. You see you got an extra 9-point advantage right there, even though they shot 41 of them. So they killed us there. And then the other one isn't as obvious because it don't look that bad now. But during the game, especially when it started, man, free throws, man, it was just – I think Luka might have had, like, 8 free throw attempts, like, in the first quarter or something. Retarded, man. So they just were getting to the line at will, man. And if Luka would have played, they might have had 35, 40 free throws the way things were going. So we had, what, 21 to that 29. Even though we hit them at an 81% clip, you know, they hit 23 of them. We hit 17. So that's more than enough to make up for That's more than enough to make up for the amount of points that we were lacking to win the game.
Indeed, bro. Let's take a look at the box score and individual statistics for the Pelicans tonight in the matchup. B.I. led the day 26 points in 36 minutes of action. He was 10 of 20 from the field, 1 of 2 from downtown, 5 of 6 from the charity stripe, 26 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. B.I. came close to a triple-double. A few more stats flowed his way. 19 from C.J. McCollum in 37 minutes. He was 9 of 14 from the field, 1 of 2 from downtown, 19 points, 8 assists, 4 boards for C.J. McCollum. 16 from Valachunas in 22 minutes, 5 of 11. He had 3 personal fouls in the matchup, but finished with 16 points, 13 boards, and a couple of dishes for Big V. And then, of course, you go on the bench to get the next double-digit score from Najee Marshall, 11 points, 3 assists in the board in 25 minutes of action, 10 points for Larry Nance. All Larry does is just dunk on people and play defense and make key plays. He had 10 points in 26 minutes tonight with 12 boards and a block in the game for him. Then, of course, you look at 2 9 scores in Herb Jones, 35 minutes, 9 points. He had a couple of rebounds, 3 steals, 9 from Trey Murphy in 34 minutes. He only took 6 shots, 3 of 6 from the field, 0 from 3 from downtown, and he did have 3 from 3 from the charity stripe. Only 9 points from Trey Murphy in the matchup, 4 from Jose Alvarado in 14 minutes of action. KLJ had 2 points in 11 minutes, and Graham did not play. Neither did Jackson Hayes. So what you think that might be, boys and girls?
Obviously, we got a trade brewing in the works.
We got something going on, boys and girls.
Willie Herman Gomez didn't play either.
Jackson Hayes, Billy Hernan Gomez, and Devontae Graham did not play tonight. So something
kind of weird that all 3 of them didn't play.
Something
and we only went 9 guys deep when we definitely could have went at least 5 tonight.
Yep. And of course, we look at the other side. Luka Doncic, the Wonder Boy, as they call him, DC, plus 17 on the plus and minus. He had 31 points in just 23 minutes of action.
Man, he didn't finish the damn game. Still ended up with all
this. Dude, could you imagine what he would have done if he'd have finished the game? 31 points, 8 boards, 4 assists, a couple of steals. He just does it all. 21 from Dinwiddie, 15 off the bench from Green, 13 from Finney Smith. And there you go. Pelicans go down 111-106, DC. Let's talk about these individuals.
Well, I'm only going to talk about 2 guys tonight, man. And say my 2 guys that I talk about. I guess I got to give it to CJ. CJ and B.I. Obviously, these were 2 of the guys that were kind of helping a lot with the comeback. And they were 2 of the guys that probably – played really bad in the first half, you know. But ultimately, man, CJ started making some very good decisions down the stretch. You know, he noticed he didn't have it going shot-wise. I'm liking to see CJ realize that, look to get his teammates more involved and get what he could. Wound up being 9 of 14 on the night for 19 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, a block. You know, CJ always managing to get a block, man. He's trying like hell on defense, even though Spencer Dinwiddie was trying to abuse him. CJ made a lot of savvy veteran plays, man. It kind of helped in those a lot of those isolation plays down the stretch. And he was able to do his thing, man, and play his part. But the most interesting stat I'm looking at right now, and it's just sticking at me to see it, is zero free throws. I mean, come on, man. A guy as skilled as CJ McCollum, you telling me he didn't get fouled all night? You don't send the man to the free throw line? Absolutely ridiculous, as you would say, Big Q. My next guy is going to be Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram, bro. Finally started to look like himself, man. Finally started to look like himself. B.I. Ended the game with 26 points. He had 8 rebounds, well, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and a block, and a timely steal that will not go down on the stat sheet that could have possibly led to the Pels at least extending the game or possibly winning it. And B.I. didn't look so hot in the first half, but nobody did. The whole team looked out of sorts, and they just looked kind of out of it. But as the game went on, man, he started to gain confidence, 5 or 6 from the free throw line, and fought through the contact because it was fouling the hell out of him too. And his shots started to fall, man, and we kind of made a game out of this, you know. So shout out to those two guys doing what they could, but they ain't really nothing to be super happy about after what we saw tonight. I mean, you do appreciate the effort of coming back from 30, but we should have never been down 30.
Right. I mean, man, oh, man, what could have been, man? But, man, all the progress, all the great progress we made up until before January, man. We got to gain it back. It's still plenty of season left to be played here, so I'm going to let the flock know. Don't get too far down. Airman says, referee Scott said in a pool report that the ref missed the calls. And there was a clock malfunction. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. There you go. That's me. And that just
appreciate
goes along
that
with
intel,
everything.
Aramis, man.
Straight up, man. That just goes along,
man,
with everything,
crazy,
doesn't
man.
It?
That's all right, crazy.
Let's move it to
why are it always malfunctions and missed calls and I'm sorry with us, bro? God damn.
Yeah, but that don't really help us. No, you know, it doesn't help us.
No, it
you
doesn't.
Still collect the loss and it impacts you. Them admitting mistakes after the fact, you're a dollar late, you know, you're a day short and a dollar late, or a day late, a dollar short. It's ridiculous. It don't help us to tell us that after we know that's the case and that you guys are just making these errors. It's just terrible. All right, so anyway, family, let's move on to the next one. This is the one we got coming up next. The Lakers are coming to town against our Pelicans, man. Pelicans now 26-27 on the 10-game slide. They're 17-9 at home. The Lakers are winners of 2 in a row. They are 25-28. That's right. The Pelicans are 26-27. The Lakers, we was just laughing at these guys not too long ago. They're 25-28.
Still laughing at them. I don't care what nobody says.
And, of course, they come here, and LeBron was complaining his ass off, and, of course, they start giving them the calls. You take a look at what's going on, and this is what's going to be up for grabs. The LeBron's going to try to go for the Laker, the record of all-time score, taking Kareem down. I think he needs 63 more points to take the all-time scoring record down against the Pelicans.
Wait, he needs 63 points?
Yes, 63 more points. He's 63 points away from breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's career record of 38,387 points.
And do they play a game? No, they play tonight already. So no. This article was wrote after they played the Pacers game?
Okay. I think this one. No, this one was. Yeah, this was after. This was at 9:19. So yeah.
Oh, okay. So thank God he ain't gonna get the record. I don't think he's gonna go 63 on us, but boy, I know he's gonna try like hell to.
He's gonna try like hell to get that record, and they got this game
adjusted
for 5 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah.
So he definitely is. And beware of the referees giving LeBron James. He might come out of this game with 25 free throw attempts. He might come out this game with 20-plus free throw attempts in the matchup. Something tell me they're going to try to help LeBron get this one on prime time. So the Pelicans, you can't let them break the record on you, man. You know, and of course, it is what it is at this point. But, you know, like I said, the Pelicans, we got a lot to do, man. Like I said, they're coming off a two-game winning streak, the Lakers. We got to handle the business against this team, DC. And I'm going to see what the matchup indicator saying. They're giving it to the Lakers. 54.4 versus 45.
You know what? You know what, BQ? I'm not even mad at the matchup indicator right now. Man, we done lost 10 games in a row, bro. I can't be mad at the matchup indicator. I'm actually shocked that they had us with a 49% chance of winning. That just shows you how bad the Lakers still are, too.
Yeah,
let's talk. Have been winning since we've been clowning the hell out of them. I ain't never stopped clowning them, me personally. But, you know, it's kind of hard to clown them as much right now when you only one win away from them. So, we definitely need to handle our business, man. I think this will be enough to put some fire under B.I., obviously, playing his old team. I'm sure he's going to want to show up. And I'm sure the guys are tired of losing. But we're going to have to find an answer for that guy, man, Mr. Glass himself, Andy Davis, bro. The brother, they call him Street Clothes Davis, but when he does play, Andy Davis is a good player, man. We cannot deny that. And we don't have, I guess, a lot of answers for him to be able to defend him, as well as LeBron either. You know, they'll put Herb on him and all of that, but you can't let both of those guys – have a phenomenal night and expect to beat the Lakers. So we're going to have to figure something out on defense to slow these guys down, as well as offensively figuring our game out, man. Usually I would say the Pels need to do this, that, and the third. I'm going to just say they got to figure something out because everything they're trying to do ain't working. And I could say, oh, well, we need to play the Pelicans brand of ball, you know, limit turnovers. They're not doing that right now. So I'm hopeful that they can do that, play the Pelican style of ball, because if they do, you know, when we're able to do that and we can have the type of offense that we need, we are a very formidable team. Obviously, that's with Zion, but we've also been able and capable to do it without Zion as well. So until they can figure out how to not let LeBron and AD get 30, you know what I'm saying, man? This is going to be a tough one to get, man. But I think the Pels can pull it out. The losing streak has to stop somewhere. And why not Sunday night at 5 o'clock? It's Sunday. It's not Saturday, BQ. It's Sunday.
It's on the 4th. I think that's a Sunday. Well, no, it's a – no.
No, that's Saturday.
That's Saturday at 5. Okay, there you go. Saturday at 5. So – prime time, DC. They got to set up prime time, man. 5 o'clock on a Saturday at the Smoothie King Center. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers come to town against the Pelicans, man. I wish we had our full cupboard, man, for this matchup. This would be so cool if we had everybody. This would be a nice matchup to kind of bounce back on. But we'll
Zion
see.
Zion ain't going
to
get the okay till Tuesday, man. Tuesday, Zion's second evaluation is coming up. And then there's a lot of trade talks in the work too, man. You know, they can't drop the rumor today about OG Anunoby, of us and the Grizzlies in a bidding war for OG Anunoby. Don't know how much truth that is to that. Maybe that could possibly be a bunch of BS. But supposed rumors out, as well as the Knicks offering them 3 first-round picks for him. And, they say the Knicks are willing to pay 3 first-round picks for OG Anunoby, man. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, if the Knicks are willing to pay 3 first-round picks, I would guess this supposed bidding war between us and the Memphis Grizzlies would also be 3 first-round picks. And Toronto is saying they want some young players to help put around their core. I don't know what the hell that call would be if they're trying to trade Siakam, Van Fleet, and OG Anunoby. But they said their core around Scotty Barnes. I don't know what to make of that. But could this be? Why are we seeing Devontae Graham not playing? Why are we seeing Jackson Hayes not playing? Billy Hernan Gomez? Yeah, I think that was it. It's only guys that didn't get minutes that normally get something. Or is there another trade the Pels are interested in right now?
The only other thing that I heard about BC that they're only talking about is the Collins thing that I heard. That's the only other thing that I'm hearing about, you know.
Well, I've heard a little about the what was that? The Utah Jazz. We definitely checked in on Collins. They had all the talk about Vanderbilt.
They said Beasley too.
Beasley. Yeah, they were connecting us as one of the teams interested in those guys too, which I think would be nice. I like Vanderbilt a lot, you know, but it's like another forward, another tweener guy, not quite a center, a power forward, kind of moonlighted small forward, tough nose, get rebounds, plays defense. You know what I'm saying? Another one of those guys. And you got Beasley, who would be an obvious scorer, three-point shooter. You kind of could compare him to Devontae Graham, I guess, in a way. And the game's a little similar. I think he's probably a little more consistent. Fonte's definitely more streaky than Beasley, but Beasley is kind of streaky too. But he's actually averaged 20 points for multiple years in the NBA, so it definitely would be an upgrade.
You know, that's intriguing, DC. Let's delve in before we shut the stream down. Let's delve in about that Devontae Graham. Let's talk about the players that you would give up for OG. Let's entertain that OG Anunoby trade scenario. Let's entertain that for a second, bro.
I mean, I don't know, man. I like OG Anunoby. I think he's a good player. But when you start talking about 3 first-round draft picks, and it's looking like they're going to want
rotten Knicks,
Herb Jones, a Dice Daniels, Trey Murphy, or something like that. They're not just going to want just those picks. They're going to also want a formidable player. You know, obviously you can put Devontae Graham in there. Maybe you can sell him on like a Jackson Hayes. Some people talk about trading Kyra, which I would want to trade Kyra, honestly. I think he's still too young. Got a lot of potential. You don't really know what you got there, and you got him on the hook for, another year, I think we got Kyra, at a very low salary. You kind of see what you got. If you're going to move him, maybe move him then. But I don't know what to make of it, Big Q, because all that, the asking price, I think it's going to get to a point where it's too steep. And there's not really a lot of guys on the move, I guess, with his type of potential, with the all-world defense, and he can actually be, you know, like a 20-point-per-game scorer too.
Yeah, that dude averages 17 points right now.
Right. So it's a great two-way player, man. You know, like, look at a guy like Jaylen Brown, and people think that he could kind of grow into that role and be a guy that good, you know, as a Jaylen Brown. So you got other suitors, and it's you know, the man who's willing to put out the most gets it. And I think he's one of those guys that could put you over the top for a championship, but his key word is could. I don't think it's automatic once you get him, and it depends on what you give up. So 3 first-round picks, I think that's kind of steep, but I'd be willing to do that. But when you start talking about the younger guys, that's where it gets iffy. I'm not giving them Trey. I'm not giving up Trey. You know, I really wouldn't want to give up Herb. But it's like, maybe, possibly, but would they just want just Herb? I doubt it. They're going to want somebody else too. So I don't think you get away from that trade without giving up a Dice, a Herb, or a Trey Murphy. I don't think they're going to just settle. Or Najee Marshall, you can say somebody like that too. I don't think they would just settle on like a Jackson Hayes and Devontae Graham from everything I'm reading and all other teams involved and what they're saying they want.
Okay, so let's see. So
yeah, it's also Gary Trent Jr. too. I forgot about that. Shout out to Whoop. Brought that up. We mentioned him before, but I forgot about Gary Trent Jr., man. Everybody's salivating over OG Anunoby.
I got the trade on the screen. This is from the ESPN trade machine. They don't factor in first round draft picks, but this is what it would look like. And the machine says that this is a successful trade for us. And most certainly, Toronto would most certainly definitely want more capital in the form of, I guess, picks. But if you don't want to touch the core of your team and then some of your core reserves, and you be able to attain him for these guys and draft picks, and the Pelicans have a ton of those, that could be
now we got another problem, though, Big Q. We need another big man in case of an injury or something.
Yeah, you do give away Jackson and Billy Hernan Gomez. You just have to dip off into the fridge.
We know Toronto ain't got no damn big man. That's why they lose.
Right. You got to dip off into a free agency and see if you can locate one and go from there. But
pull off another trade? Second round pick? Maybe.
That might be a good idea, DC. You could get Noel in there. Maybe we can. I know we wouldn't be able to get a Daniel Gafford or a Nas Reed. But, you know, Noel is a guy that's been bantered about. And, you know, you can more than likely be able to get him. And it's kind of reshuffle the bench and give you a guy like him. But like you said, the New York Knicks, they trash tail running around here. And they're going to junk up whatever trade you got going on. They're going to be trying to throw everything but the kitchen sink to get them. And they're going to make it difficult for a team like the Pelicans in Atlanta. So we'll see where it goes. And also you made mention of Gary Trent Jr., who's another good player, too. As well, so the Pelicans, man,
excellent scorer, decent defender as well.
Yeah, I like that kid. I like him a lot, man. And then, of course, you like we just mentioned, we made mention of the fact that these guys didn't play tonight. You know, Graham, Hayes, or Billy Hernan Gomez. These guys are potential trade pieces. Perhaps Garrett Temple, DC. One can only hope. But anyway, outside of that, man.
Garrett Temple. They say he's coaching people up, man. We got us a coach on the sidelines. We got our own version of Udonis Haslam, man. So I think he's playing that role, and the Pels are pretty happy with him in that role. I don't think they trade Gary Temple.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. Probably not, though. All right. So with that being said, man, we're going to end on that. Like, big ups to the fam. Appreciate y'all. Please feel free to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Please feel free to share the show on your social media.
Creative mindset, who are you coaching? Kyra Lewis right now. That's his latest project.
Who is he coaching?
According to what I last heard.
Who is the hell is he coaching? All right, Stephanie says, why can't we throw Temple in there too? We don't need him at all.
Well, we need his coaching, and we need him putting guys on suits and just veteran right, stuff. I ain't gonna fight it too much, man. If we can get rid of Devontae Graham, come on, family. We can't get rid of Devontae Graham and Garrett Temple.
What the hell?
They're not going to do that.
And, Willie would fight.
You got to keep one of them. You got to give him one of them, family. Come on. That's just cruel. Y'all being mean.
I ain't going to tell you no different, DC. If I had to get rid of one between Garrett Temple and Graham, that's an easy choice right there, bro. Graham at 11.5. And Temple, bro, is what Garrett Temple making, man?
Is it five? 5 million. That's not a lot of money 4.9. For
4.9 NBA
vet. Somebody 35 years old. That's about what they make. You know what I'm saying?
4.9. Yeah, according to ESPN, that he's making versus 11.5 for a third string, confidence lacking, undersized, supposed to be six man in Devontae Graham. I'll take it all day, man. That will definitely be something I would look to move. So we'll see how it goes, family. Somebody going to be moving real soon, man. We're getting close to this trade deadline, which is on the 9th. So something's going to be popping and snapping real soon. We're seeing guys getting held out, man. So anyway, with that being said, we're going to get out on that. We appreciate the fam. Once again, please feel free to hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and the share button. Share the show on your social media feed. Share with other flock faithful. And let them know, man, we still in this thing. Season is not over. We still have a lot of basketball left to be played. Guys are going to get healthy. Things are going to change. And we're going to change it and move around just like we did the start of the year off. This is nothing new. We've been through some adversity. 10-game losing streak is a bit extreme, but we got a lot of stuff to be looking forward to. We got the trade deadline coming up. I think it's next week. So you'll see some movement there that should excite
people. On the
9th, man. We'll hear about Zion Williamson, DC, coming back.
5-6 days left.
We'll hear about Zion Williamson as we get closer and closer. Then you have the All-Star break further down there. And then, of course, after that, the team tools up. We get both B.I. and Zion and everybody, even Dyson Daniels, who's getting close to returning back out the court. And then we stay in KLJ a lot more.
4 or 5 weeks, I think.
Right. And then we see KLJ getting more
reps. Got some minutes tonight.
So
he didn't do much with him, but, you know.
Right.
Got a little gunshot tonight when the minutes really counted.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, there's a lot to be looking
for. It was rough on the whole team, so I can understand him playing bad.
All right, so we're going to holler at y'all on the flip side, fam. We'll be back on Saturday night after the game, and we'll also open up the phone lines, and we'll chime in all that good stuff about the Pelicans, man, after they're going to break this 10-game losing streak by beating LeBron, the crying LeBron Lakers. We won't allow him to get any records. He most certainly will not score 60 on our heads. He ain't going to break no goddamn record. They're going to leave with a loss and him an unsuccessful attempt at trying to get that record. So let's just keep it like that. With that being said, we're going to holler at you on the flip side. Go Pels.
Check out the Pro Shop. That's right, the Pro Shop is the platform store where you can go and buy all the latest merch to support the platform. Available at the Pro Shops, we have dozens of hundreds of products available for you and your family. Unisex tees for men and women, hoodies and sweatshirts, tank tops, kids and baby items, long sleeve tees, mugs, pillows, wall art, bath bedding, face masks, phone cases, stickers, bags, fanny packs, socks, hats, and many other items. Please feel free to check out the Pro Shops. The link is in the description section below. And remember, it helps the platform continue to grow. Check out the Pro Shop and Who That Too.
TheWhoThatDaily.com. That's right, TheWhoThatDaily.com. Your one-stop shop for everything New Orleans Saints, New Orleans Pelicans, LSU Tigers, even the top-flight boxing news. So if you're a Who That, you're looking for a place to stay up on your team, TheWhoThatDaily.com is your site. TheWhoThatDaily.com for the sport Who That.